tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the king Scott Angle, Walshy Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Corey, welcome back.
Hey.
Oh my goodness.
Not rusty.
Hey, I'm glad to be back, Mr. Sussman. You know what I'm saying? So everything went well. Unfortunately, the Dallas Cowboys didn't get a victory, didn't extend their winning streak, but still got plenty more football left, plenty more fantasy football. Well, not much more, really. Only got 3 weeks of it left, so hopefully everybody's in good position around the table. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Are you in good position to be playing in week 14?
I'll be playing in week... I don't want to. I'll be playing week 15, hopefully.
Hopefully skip week 14 if all
things go well. That's the goal here. But feeling good, Corey. Can use everybody's help as always, and I appreciate us getting there together.
Yes. No, we did it. We do this as a team.
We do it together. Scott Angle, you're the king. What's going on?
Good morning. Still in good position, but had a frustrating night. You know, it's one of the nights when Devin Funchess in one of my leagues did not score quite enough for me to pull out a victory, yet in another league, when you play multiple leagues, scored enough to defeat me.
That's a sweet spot.
It's a sweet spot.
Not a sweet spot at all, a sore spot. But hey, having some fun doing some work. Check out my new Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour on demand with NBA Hall of Famer Bernard King. He has a new book out called Game Face. And also check out my new article on Sports Grid, which NFL players would survive in The Walking Dead.
There you go.
Has Scott stopped talking?
And also check out the Buffalo Bills getting blown out 2 weeks in a row.
That was pretty good for me. I mean, I had Ingram and Kamara, so I was loving that. Cam Newton, what a game.
Cam balled out.
Yeah, he did. He definitely did. You know what's pretty crazy? Half a game behind the Saints. It's going to be a nice matchup.
Yeah, it should be fun, Carolina and New Orleans. Last night, though, man. Damn Knicks.
How about that?
They let me down in a major way. Yep. Sucks.
Yeah, they had a big lead, but LeBron just had like a magnificent fourth quarter. But I guess it's just kind of a thing where, look, you know, they're playing much better than people expected, but, you know, LeBron still owns the garden.
You know, it wasn't LeBron at all. It was Kyle Korver. Kyle Korver hit five threes in the fourth quarter. It was brutal, and the Knicks stopped playing defense, and that's what happened. 23 points in this game. That was very, very frustrating.
LeBron was involved in 30 of their final 43 points, though. You know, passing it off, et cetera. So.
I didn't see the game, but from Twitter, I felt like I did.
Yeah, you know, it was very frustrating to watch. The Garden was as alive as I've seen it in quite some time. And it was awesome. You saw French Frank getting LeBron's face with LeBron's comments. That was awesome. Enes Kanter totally back him up. This team was fun, but to lose this one is a game you should have won. You're 23 points. You're 15 points heading into the fourth quarter. It's a game you got to win. And LeBron pass, and the guys hit their shots. It's very, very frustrating.
They shouldn't have won because down the stretch they didn't do what they had to do. But look, it's good to see them competitive again. You know, look at the bright side.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Let's go over Monday Night Football, Carolina and Miami. I don't know if we'll be able to talk today. So we'll see. You know, a lot of talking yesterday. So thankfully, I have someone to help me out. Take a break. It's the Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Fantasy Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's the Roto Experts here with you live. As you said, Matt, Cam Newton was pretty damn impressive last night.
Yeah, Cam put on a show for everyone. And it was good to see his throwing hasn't been too good of late. But, you know, when you throw four touchdown passes, run for almost 100 yards. And this is a, you know, this is a, it's an up and down team. But they're 7-3. They have the bye coming this week. So I'm really stoked to see them play the Saints.
Yeah, you know, it's gonna be fun when they play the Saints. I feel like the Saints are just better, to be honest with you. But we'll see. That's why they obviously played the game. They crushed Miami. 45-21 was ultimately the final score. And I felt like Miami just had its way the entire game. They ran down the field every drive, scored a touchdown seemingly every drive. There was no issues whatsoever for the offense for Carolina last night.
Yeah, there was five consecutive possessions in which they scored. They pretty much did anything they wanted from the second quarter on, even though they started slow. But, you know, scouting reports, as they were saying last night, was to really attack that Miami linebacking crew. And they did it. You know, they did it with screens. You know, they did it with read option, you know, quick hitters, et cetera. And everybody got involved. Cam had his best game of the season, his second four-touchdown game in 2 years, and his third three-touchdown game of this season.
Yeah, you know, it was an awesome game from Cam Newton. 254 yards passing, four touchdowns passing last night. Two Carolina, I mean, they scored six touchdowns. It was insane.
When Sun is on his game, he might be the best player in the NFL, straight up, when he's on his game. That's how good he is at the quarterback position, what he can do, his athleticism, his versatility. When he's rolling in the offense, Cam is a very dangerous player, and that's what he looked like last night. But it's just, the thing about it is, it may be different next week. Next week, you might get bad Cam.
Yeah. Next week, you'll get relaxed Cam on the bye. So.
Yeah. Well, next week, he'll be in Cabo.
Probably.
You get Cabo Cam.
He's better than Aaron Rodgers when he's on his game?
He's a younger man than Aaron Rodgers.
No, but you said he might be the best quarterback and player in the game. You know,
he's a younger dude than Aaron Rodgers.
No, but is he better?
What he's saying was that he's one of the more dynamic players in the league. It's not about if he's better than Aaron Rodgers or not.
That's what he said.
Oh, my God.
I'm asking a question.
He said
he's the best player.
And my answer is he's a younger player. He's a younger man, meaning I can get more longevity out of him than I can with Aaron Rodgers.
But is he better than Aaron Rodgers?
I wouldn't say he wasn't right now.
And he's healthy. He's healthy. Aaron Rodgers is healthy. So right now, he's better because he's on the field.
Okay.
There you go. So Cam Newton, what he did, I mean, this was the perfect Carolina game plan where you're able to use Cam Newton to the best of his abilities to be able to use the play action, to use the read option, and they used it to perfection last night. Christian McCaffrey's, you know, on rushing touchdown, he had the ball in Christian McCaffrey's chest longer than I've ever seen anybody ever have it, you know, holding on to it on one of these read options, and he just let it go at the last second, and Christian McCaffrey made a nice little move, got in there. This is Jonathan Stewart's best game of the year, 17 carries for 110 yards, but Scott, a lot of that is just because Cam Newton was such a threat last night and was so on his game that Jonathan Stewart had a lot of room to run.
Yeah, like you said, it's the read option. It really opens up things well when Cam is playing well, but like to Corey's point, the inconsistency. But, you know, this Miami linebacking crew is really something to attack. You know, you give the Carolina coaching staff a lot of credit, too, as well as the players, because, you know, they really did their job breaking down the film and attacking the weaknesses, and succeeding in the NFL is all about that. It's attacking weaknesses.
CMC in the open field versus Kiko Alonso was unfair.
Multiple times.
Yeah, Kiko Alonso's hips are a little sore today.
Yeah, multiple times Kiko Alonso got completely juked out of his shoes by Christian McCaffrey. And
Devin Funchess looked pretty amazing, by the way.
And Devin Funchess did look pretty amazing. 5 for 92. He had two touchdowns.
Two touches.
And I felt bad. My friend in the league last night, he needed 12 points to win. And he had Curtis Samuel. And the ball hits him in the face mask. Dude gets rolled off while he breaks his leg while this is happening. Like, oh my God, I feel horrible. And then he lost. Sucks.
That's how fantasy football plays out sometimes. It's be very difficult watching these games and you get emotionally invested in it. You feel what I'm saying, Mr. Sussman?
Yeah,
feelings sometimes. And then when, oh my goodness. No, I got some matchups coming up where it might determine if I'm continue playing or not.
Really?
Because that's how hard some of these losses are. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get emotionally invested, and if I have a, I got a week 12 matchup coming up, that if I lose, it'd be totally unfair. You know what I'm saying? How it plays out, but only the strong survive, Mr. Sussman. That's
yes.
what you've always taught us.
Only the strong survive, indeed. And, you know, there's actually a trade involving Devin Fletcher's in my league yesterday.
Oh, really?
which I'd like to tell you guys
trade
about.
During the, while the week is still going on.
It was, well, Scott always says, Scott's brought this up on multiple occasions, that Monday, is that overreaction Monday?
Yeah.
Teams are more desperate. And he always says that, like, Monday's a good day to just throw these offers out there and see what could happen. And someone did. And it worked out for somebody. Because a team that is 7-3, or is now 7-3, traded for Devontae Freeman, which I thought was like, whoa, I don't want to get messed with this. And they traded away your boy Stephon Diggs and Rex Burkhead for Devontae Freeman and Devin Funchess.
Interesting. I don't know if Devontae Freeman shouldn't play no more this year.
Correct.
I don't think that he's going to do that, though. He's going to be back on the field as soon as they clear him. He's going to fight for that. But he probably should be on the IR.
Dr. A actually, you know, warned us of this injury, Corey, we were talking about
yes,
yesterday, mm-hmm. and said that if he
I
had another,
about
he
him
would...
on Sunday.
And he said that he could miss a few weeks next time he had a concussion, so I'm not expecting to see him back anytime soon. And, of course, you know, I got a trade offer for him yesterday in GST from our friend Ron Cafferty, who offered me Devonta Freeman. I said, but he's out a few weeks. He's like, oh, I didn't know. So.
Well, you know, try to play dumb. It's a Scott Engel strategy, right? Had to use it on you. But I thought it was interesting. We'll get more into Devontae Freeman a little bit later on. But I thought that trade was interesting involving Devin Funchess in my particular league. But Funchess looked really, really good. Without Curtis Samuel, without Calvin Benjamin, there is nobody else really for Cam to throw to outside of CMC.
It was the fastest I've ever seen him moving around that field. He was flying around that field.
He looks really, really, really good. In 2 weeks, this team might get Greg Olsen back, which will be another weapon for them. And like you said, Carolina, New Orleans, it's going to be a fun battle down the stretch here, Matt.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And remember, New Orleans was on the 7-game winning streak. Started that at Carolina in week 3. They beat them like 34-13. So the Panthers are going to have to repay the favor. I just think, you know, when you get teams like this, I mean, the Saints might be the class of the NFC right now. I think the Vikings are right up there.
Certainly the Eagles as well.
The Eagles, obviously, 8-1. But I got a feeling the Eagles are going to hit a couple of bumps in the road, though, here or there. And look, the Panthers, the one thing about the Panthers is they are Jekyll and Hyde type.
Sure. You know,
some weeks they look so good.
So bad.
Some weeks they look so bad. But it's always fun when you get, like, when Cam is good, it's fun to watch football.
Yeah, I am entirely with you that you know, I had Monday Night Football on after the Knick game, and you're watching it, and I'm watching it with my girlfriend, and she's just like, oh, man, like, Cam is so distinctive. He's fun. He's smiling. Like, watch him when he loses.
It's, yeah, it's not, a different guy.
It's different.
Did you hear what they said during the game? Because remember we heard all, like, preseason, offseason, Cam's not going to run that much, and I kept saying that's not true. Once Cam gets the ball, he sees that pylon, he's going to become Superman. And supposedly in the offseason, this is what they said last night. Over at dinner, Cam said, you need to let me be me.
Right.
Because of last season when he wasn't. And then he wound up getting hurt anyway last season. So I just found that interesting how that whole narrative was he wasn't going to run. And it was all BS.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know that it was BS so much as I think you guys kind of predicted it in that ideally they didn't want him to run nearly as much. Ideally they wanted this offense to change. But Cam is most effective in being Cam.
But that's their offense, though.
It is, for sure. But ideally, they wanted to move away from that a little bit. But in order to win and in order to get where they want to go, they need Cam to run the football and be a massive threat on the ground. He was last night throwing 4 touchdowns and running for 95 yards, right? So, like, that is the Cam Newton that the Panthers need to ride to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, that makes Cam who he is. He's not the most accurate passer. So, you know, he has to have other ways of threatening the defense more as a dual threat.
100%. Yeah. And that's the way to freeze him. Exactly, Scotty.
On that run that he had, that, you know, what was it, 69 yards or whatever?
Yeah.
It didn't even look like he was running hard.
Yeah, no, he was kind of not really trying. It's like he's just out there playing with people that don't have the same athletic ability as him. and it's very clear.
No, it was. I mean, obviously the Dolphins don't. Because I mean,
nobody on that team could handle them.
No, obviously not. I mean, it was just a complete wreckage last night by the Carolina Panthers. And ultimately, they got the job done against a Miami team that really struggled. We'll get to the Miami side of things in a few moments here. But what did you think of Jonathan Stewart's performance last night? Cool, a little vintage, 17 for 110.
Yeah, no, like you said, vintage. But it's so much when Cam has it rolling like that, he creates such a threat that you almost kind of forget about anybody else. And Jonathan Stewart was able to take advantage of that situation last night. Because when Cam is rolling, Greg, you know, he can beat you by himself. So when he starts to get others involved, lanes open up, running lane. Cam is good at opening up running lanes. Stewart fresh last night. So he probably been on people's benches or people waiver wire while it's tapping. But still, good game from John Stewart.
And, I mean, look, Corey's 100% right. I mean, Cam's opening up those lanes and stuff. I mean, Cameron and Payne had what?
Yeah.
Seven for almost 70.
And that guy sucks.
Like, and he had a touchdown. So, I mean, that's what he can do. It's good to see CMC get a couple touchdowns. I mean, I think for a rookie, he's having a hell of a year, too.
Yeah, he is. Absolutely. So, it's funny because you just look at the numbers once again for Christian McCaffrey. Only 5 carries in a game where Jonathan Stewart had 17 and Cameron Artis Payne had 7. Christian McCaffrey gets 5 carries, had just 23 yards on the ground, but
catches. A hell of a catch in the end zone.
Runs for the touchdown, catches the touchdown. Only at 3 for 27, but those 2 touchdowns make it all not matter.
Yeah, we're still not seeing the big explosive plays, but hey, if he gets in the end zone, nothing wrong with it.
Absolutely. Carolina goes on a bye this week. Take a break. We'll come back. We'll get things from the Miami Dolphins side of the picture. When we come back, it's Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Plan daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Here with you.
Work.
Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And ultimately, for the Carolina Panthers to play so well, you need a team to play poorly. I just noticed you with the wrong background. The Carolina Panthers destroyed Miami. And a lot of that, as Scott mentioned, was because of the awfulness of Miami's defense, and in particular, the linebackers. But, you know, Jay Cutler didn't really help things. Cutler last night, 3 for 213, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. Did not take a sack, which is nice, I guess. And if you own most of these players in fantasy, you didn't really have a bad night.
No, you didn't.
Things kind of worked out from a fantasy perspective for you. Jarvis Landry, 5 for 42, touchdown. Devontae Parker, 6 for 66. Kenny Stills, 5 for 67. That's not so bad.
No, and Jarvis Landry has already surpassed his touchdown total from last season. The yardage numbers haven't been terrific, but the guy continues to score.
We were wrong on Jarvis Landry. We got off when they brought Jay Cutler in and Jarvis Landry had that domestic thing, we got off Jarvis Landry so fast, you feel what I'm saying?
So fast.
Man, we was running from Jarvis Landry, but Jarvis Landry is still the man in this passing game.
I caution against running from Jarvis Landry.
Oh,
you're gonna see a different skill set.
You cautioned against it. Yeah.
I drafted him in the GST as my second wide receiver. So I would say you're going to see a different skill set with Cutler, and that's exactly what happened. He has a new career high for touchdowns, and he's still very, very efficient. If the Dolphins don't retain him, man, whoever gets him next year, look out. And it could be even more upside for fantasy purposes.
Does anybody remember Scott being the...
Let's give it to him.
No, I'm just teasing him.
No, but this team, like, Cutler doesn't put up great numbers, but he gets the ball to his receivers. Even though a lot of the stats were in catch up, you still got them.
Yeah, but it's all same to us.
That line I love it. The garbage time or the catch up, That's isn't that fantasy football though?
100%.
I mean,
absolutely.
Blake Bortles made a living doing that.
Well, we're gonna take it very, very happily. All three wide receivers get the job done last night, which is good. And then I want to get obviously into the running game here just a little bit, because for most of this game, when the Dolphins were down, nothing from Damian Williams, nothing from Kenyon Drake. 66-yard touchdown later, you know what? Here's what you like about Kenyon Drake. Finishes 7-82 and a TD.
About, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes into the game, my friend from the Staten Island League, my partner, is looking to drop Kenyon Drake and pick somebody else up. So I'm like, let's let the game play out, and, you know, we'll decide tomorrow what we'll do. And then, you know, he had that. He looked like a good runner last week, and he's definitely the best runner on this team. So I think if you have him...
He's going to my lineup. He's going to my lineup as a flex option.
It was a hell of a run.
Yeah, David, if you watch this game, you were frustrated, though, because for the first half, it was all Damian Williams, and Drake was standing on the sidelines waiting to come in. And then he got his opportunity, and even though it was late, this is a second 40-yard run that he's ripped off in 2 weeks, and Williams has not been able to find running room. I think when you watch the way the guys have run these last 2 weeks, I think maybe they felt more comfortable because of Williams, because of his pass blocking and his experience. But it's clear that Drake is the better runner.
Yeah, what confused me, Scott, was that last week, you know, Adam Gase comes out and is like, you know, Kenyon Drake has everything. He just needs to get the reps. And then the first half, they didn't give him the reps. I didn't get it.
No, but Williams was running the ball and he was catching the ball, but he was getting stuffed constantly because... Yeah, people talk about the Rams defensive line. This is one of the best defensive lines in football. Star Latulé, sure. Kawan Short, etc. And they were getting in the backfield a lot. You know, maybe they relaxed a little, you know, by the time they were way up. But you know, Drake is clearly the best guy in this backfield.
Williams is a better pass catching back, and I don't mind if there's two guys there. We know it. We talked about this yesterday, kind of. Two people can live in a backfield in today's NFL. So, I mean, I definitely want Drake over Williams, but Williams is going to have some value as well in games. He can catch the ball very well. I mean, last year his touches to touchdown ratio was like off the chart. So, I think he still has relevance. I wouldn't, you know, it just didn't work. Look, it was a tough matchup.
Extremely tough.
Versus Carolina's, you know, run defense, as Scott just mentioned.
Extremely tough. I think both these guys, I still think Kenyon Drake's the one you want to own going mm-hmm. forward.
Absolutely.
But... I'm not cutting Damian Williams, Corey.
No, he's going to be too much involved. This time of year, going down the stretch, these matchups get a little bit more difficult. You're going to have situations where you're going to need to play him. You know, as we look at, as we start to slowly, 2 weeks from now, be through the bye weeks, and we get to where these rosters become tighter, Damian Williams is a thing going down the stretch. I'm more comfortable if I'm a Kenyon Drake owner than I am a Damian Williams owner. But I can see Damian Williams more than likely when you're setting your weekly lineup in a 12-team league. That's a very good shot. Damian Williams is going to be in it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I know we have one more bye week left. You know, I'm actually in a league where I own both Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams. I might start both of them again against Tampa Bay. Do it again.
It's interesting. Carlos Hyde's on a bye.
Exactly.
Oh, my man's on a bye next week, though. Robbie Anderson.
We had a Jets.
You're going to miss Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson has been phenomenal.
Your boy T.Y. is also on a bye, so there's a lot going on.
I'm not worried about T.Y.
Worried about Robbie Anderson. Again, we told you this back in August. It's like crazy. You know, I'm not going to be put out Robbie Anderson next week, and I'm not worried about T.Y. Hilton.
Amazing how it works out, isn't it? It's just simply like that.
That's sports.
Listen, the Dolphins were...
I love sports.
I gotta love sports.
Listen, the Dolphins were in comeback mode all night, but Kenny Stills was really as involved as Jarvis Landry and Devontae Parker. 8 targets for him, 9 targets for Parker, 10 targets to Jarvis Landry. Can you continue to start Kenny
No.
Stills? Okay.
No.
Oh, but they have Tampa this week.
That's a good matchup.
I'm like you said, there are some teams on a bye.
Oh, this is the week one. This is the week one game this weekend.
Yeah, this is the week one game. How about that?
How about that?
The thing with Kenny Stills is, you know, it's going to be games where the targets are not going to be there. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, I don't want to start him. I'm just saying. I think he's
relevant. No, he's worth the consideration if you're a Robbie Anderson owner or whatever, somebody like that. But the targets are not always there consistently. It's more time. You saw more work when Devontae Parker was out. with Parker back, it makes it a little bit more difficult to start a guy like Kenny Stills. But if you're in a desperation spot, I can see it. The matchup is good if you do need to come down to that. But I don't know. I wouldn't start him over, you know, some of the other more, well, obviously some of the other more proven guys. But like, say like a Ted Ginn, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't start him over him.
No, I'm not starting him over Ted Ginn. No.
Yeah, I think, you know, get to this point in the season, you know, the buys are going to disappear soon. You know, Kenny Stills is probably not going to crack your lineup, you know, in a 12-team league.
Probably not, but I think he's still someone. I think he's someone you can have on your bench, no?
Oh yeah, you want the depth. You know, what if you have injuries, etc. You know, the trade deadline has passed. You know, that's one thing to think of. Because you're gonna need some quality depth. Look, as the buys go, you want to get the handcuffs to your top running backs, and you know maybe even in a very deep league to your quarterback. In my dynasty league, you know I have Matthew Stafford's backup, but you want to have quality reserves in case somebody gets injured, so you don't have to worry about scrambling to the waiver wire and not being in the right order or not having enough fab.
We talked a lot yesterday. Throughout the day about handcuffs in general and grabbing your handcuffs, but you got to do it when the situation is right. We'll talk about waivers coming up a little bit later on. And in certain situations, you do want to drop those handcuffs for, you know, for a better waiver situation. Jamal Williams being obviously the prime example we gave yesterday. So, you know, I think you got to make the right call for your team. And at this time of the year, you look to that final lineup that you're going to have from week 13 on, and that's it.
Really. Go ahead, man.
Oh, and just real quick on Jarvis Landry. Out of these 9 games, 7 of them have been double-digit targets. He's got 5 touchdowns, as Scott mentioned. He's already passed last season. The weird thing is he's got, like, 2 games... Or maybe, only 2 games over 50 yards receiving. Well, actually, 3 games out of 9. It's pretty crazy.
That is crazy, actually. The Dolphins stink, obviously. But so now we're only 4-5. So now they're, like, still right there.
That point differential is pretty
disgusting.
Pretty ugly.
Pretty disgusting. But I feel like they can win against Tampa Bay.
Your record... It's like Bill Parcells says, used to say, your record is what it says you are. And, you know, they had a few good games early, but, you know, now it's starting to fall apart. You know, some of these teams that got off to pretty good starts, you know, are now falling apart, you know, unfortunately. And I'm not trying to take a shot, but, like, you know, Buffalo's one of those teams. You know, I'd like to see Buffalo make the playoffs, you know, because I had friends who are Bills fans. But... You know, these
we don't need your pity.
You know, I was talking about Florio, though. Not, you know.
that was a good one,
yeah.
Scott.
He had that one lined up.
Yeah, he had that ready to go. He certainly did. He was setting you up like I set him up.
but look, you know, these teams are showing who they are.
Can I get it right quick? Isaiah Crowell. You know,
we're talking Crowell now.
Yeah, we can talk about Isaiah Crowell again. He's all be 14 in the past month. I just wanted to throw that out there.
He's probably higher in the last 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, but you know, a longer sample size, you're seeing more from Isaiah Crowell, so you can insert him back in your starting lineup.
We gotta stretch the love out, Scott.
Yeah, Scott, we gotta get to the sweet spot. You know what I'm saying?
Stretch the love out to get to the sweet spot.
Get to the sweet spot, Scotty. So Isaiah Crowell, Greg, I don't want no more foolishness. Okay, sometimes things take a little longer to develop. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
Another thing.
Yeah, please.
How long is Blake Bortles take to develop?
When's that going to happen? Blake is doing all right.
No, he's not.
I mean,
he's horrible this week.
I mean, I'm talking about as far as he's putting up, he's getting opportunities to put up numbers for fantasy.
Okay,
he's throwing through the ball 51 times.
Yeah, but in real life, like he threw 2.
No, he's terrible.
The Jaguars totally saved him this week.
There's another. This is something I did in one of my leagues. And I wanted to know what you guys think about this. I had to make a decision probably about a month and a half ago, where I had to let somebody go off the team. I either had to cut Rex Burkhead or Devontae Booker. And at the time I cut I cut Rex Burkhead. I'm really regretting that right now.
Yeah,
I sit here next year.
I know. But would you have cut Booker over Burkhead about a month and a half ago?
I would have kept Booker. Ooh. I would have kept Booker because I felt he had the opportunity to start. Burkhead is nice for depth and good when there's bye weeks, but I feel
he's a starter now.
I feel like I don't
It would have been a roster starter. I mean, I can see dropping Burkhead.
Yeah, I don't think he's a starter unless there's a bye. I felt like Booker was,
Scott. I think he's a starter now.
I look at the numbers, and, you know, I it's just too. Not, Scott it's hates not enough every week. Right, because I love Chris Thompson, yeah.
You like one guy.
You don't think Burkhead's a starter? Is a weekly starter now?
I don't think so.
No.
Really?
No.
Wow.
I don't think so.
Matt, you don't
think if you look at the game log, it doesn't.
I don't know if he's a starter.
As a flex option.
If you have him, I had him as a flex this week in a couple spots.
Yeah.
And those 15-plus points.
The overall yardage numbers are not that impressive week to week, and he hasn't
I'm
scored.
I'm talking about the fantasy points, Scott.
James White is a top 20
I'm talking about the fantasy points. Not the yardage on the field, the fantasy points, Scott.
He's got two touchdowns overall, so, you know, he's good bench player.
It's about the whole season, I didn't play it the whole year. What are you talking about?
The conversation continues right after this.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
So we're back here on the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Yes, Corey.
You know what? Not being here yesterday.
Did you miss us?
Yeah, I did miss you. We didn't have a chance to talk about.
I got a direct message from Greg Sussman saying that he missed me yesterday.
Yeah, I got that same message.
I get those once a week.
Yeah. The illest thing in sports, the turnover chain.
Yeah.
The University of Miami's turnover chain is the illest thing in sports. That was a brilliant idea, whoever came
up with it. And just bringing back that rivalry in the last couple of years and the fact that they were both highly ranked. Look, when I was growing up, Lou Holtz, to me, is a fantastic coach. But I love rooting against Notre Dame. And he would beat everybody, Bowden, whoever came into, you know. But like Corey said, that turnover chain was fantastic. That atmosphere at the Hard Rock was off the
It's like when you're watching them, you're waiting for the turnover so you can see this crazy chain, you know what I'm saying? And them act like it's 1998.
We need one for Studio 34.
We need a turnover chain for Studio 34. So I don't know who can expense it, but I know where to get them from. I already looked it up. We need it. Every time Scott make an accident, we go put the chain on him.
you get the chain for causing the turnover.
Yeah.
But I just want to see Scott with the chain.
Yeah, exactly. We need a turnover chain for Studio 34.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. But,
Scott is like the most popular thing in sports right now.
Once I do.
Google turnover chain.
Once I do, Corey's going to have a fat lip.
Are you guys kind of surprised that, like, the NFL, some NFL team hasn't started doing it? Like, all the players from the University of Miami, like, aren't wearing it now?
I guess you don't really want to steal it now. Because it was such a brilliant idea, but like, a lot of high schools are doing it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't A-Rod wearing that in the box?
A-Rod had it on.
Oh, of course he was. Yeah. Like, who's like a good defensive player now from the U? Because I feel like they're all gone. But I wanted to be like, if Patrick Willis like, goes a fumble, I felt like he would be just put the chain on. Every head of interception, that chain would go right on.
I'd like to just see Ed Reed on the sidelines wearing that chain.
He looks old. He looks like an old man.
Well, he probably can still play football, though.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's the coolest thing.
That was
thing.
The only good thing that Rex Ryan did is he had Ed Reed on the staff.
Well, that was good for him.
That was the only good thing he did.
Was he a good coach?
I don't know. I just like seeing Ed Reed.
This has to be good. Ed
That's the dude that you want on your side. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
Like, if I was making a movie, Ed Reed, I'd be casting Ed Reed.
Oh, there you go. Look at that. Did you Google turnover chain yet, Scott? What do you think?
I think it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
You don't want to punch him in the mouth anymore?
What? Yeah, now he sees it. He's like, oh, it's cool. The turnover chain.
Cool. Yeah. It might hurt my neck, but.
I just wanted to bring that up, how just great the turnover chain is, like, the illest thing right now.
Yeah,
and we need one for Studio 34, Mr. DeFino.
It's also, like, it's also kind of wild that this is, like, such a huge thing.
Why is it wild?
I don't know. It's like, is it? I get that it's really cool. They put on this ridiculous Cuban League chain. Like,
But it gets the team so pumped. Yes. That's what's great. And they like thrive on it.
Exactly. So
it's a great
It's a camaraderie thing.
How can you respond? You don't even know what it is.
I just Googled it. I can tell. You know.
You can tell. Yeah. You know what it was 2 minutes ago.
Google is my friend. Yeah. I'm not surprised you wouldn't be into it, though.
What? Why is that? I like fun things. I'm all about
fun. You're more uptight. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't sound as excited about this as I thought you would. So everybody loves this.
Everybody loves it.
Uh-huh.
Everybody loves the turnover chain. I don't know.
Don Burns, do you love the turnover chain?
Everybody loves the turnover chain.
Yes, Don Burns loves the turnover chain.
Huh? Don Burns probably has a turnover.
I wouldn't be surprised.
He probably one of the first ones. I could see him coaching youth sports, and you know, like he'll do something
how
like
are they,
that.
Are they selling it yet? The University of Miami?
Huh?
Are they selling them yet?
They're selling them. What dude that used to play for them? I can't think of his name right now.
Vince Wilfork was in charge. Was behind
Vince Wilfork was in the store when the defensive coordinator called.
Yeah,
he was in the shop and he helped them design it. But one of the former players has a company that makes the T-shirts. And makes the actual replica one that costs $150, Nando DeFino. You can get that out of the budget. We need to turn over Chamber Studio 34.
We'll get one that's like cubic zirconia type, you know.
But we just need one, Scott. Yeah, we just need something to have.
You know. I don't know. Mike Rump.
Costume.
It was Mike Rump that did it, huh? Cornerbacks. Mike Rump, four NFL players. San Francisco 49er cornerback.
Oh, he did it?
He was the one that was in charge of it. Yeah, he was a cornerbacks coach. And they asked defensive coordinator Manny Diaz if it was cool.
Yeah.
And it worked out.
It was just good to see South Florida jump in and stuff like that. I mean, I remember growing up the Orange Bowl, and they had a 57-game home winning streak and all that. It was just fun. Unfortunately, I wound up, after it was like 17-0, I wound up watching that Mississippi State-Bama game.
That was good, too.
I felt bad for Mississippi State.
They tried their best. But
it is crazy how pumped they get for the chain.
No, it's like when you're watching the game,
you get pumped.
When the first time when it was the ball was tipped in the air and the dude was trying to catch, people were like, oh, darn it!
should do something like that in fantasy football, Corey. Like, you know, somebody in the league, like, get the highest points in the league for the week, you get to wear the turnover chain or something like that.
But take
a picture with it. And post but we're not on the all. League homepage.
But we're not all together. Though.
I know,
you
but I'm saying,
saying?
Yeah. You take a picture with. It and you post it on the league homepage.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I thought Mr. Sussman would be more into it.
I thought I'd be more into it too. I really did. It's like something I would totally like. But I don't know. I'm not as you know, there's a lot of other people.
I can see Frank Stanford rocking one.
Oh yeah.
Can you see a turnover chain and spike ball maybe or something like that?
Why does he do that? Yeah. Why does he have to do that to you? Why does he have to? Because you were sitting there minding your business.
I'm not taking a shot at him.
What do you mean you're not taking a shot at him, Scott? You're clearly taking a shot at him.
I'm actually asking. I know it sounds like a shot, but could you see you doing something like that with your friends?
Yeah, you know what? I probably could, especially at Kiss concerts.
It would actually go with everything else.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's great.
There you go. It's perfect.
Yeah. He got you on that one, Scott.
All right.
I like it.
You should.
Any final Week 10 thoughts before we close that book and move on to Week 11, gentlemen?
I'm feeling too good, so I'm trying to like reserve myself. Feeling strong.
There you go.
Even if you're losing, okay, you're losing your game, whatever, you know, you want to score the most overall points that you can because that's going to make a big difference for tiebreakers, etc. So, you know, just keep a focus, especially when you go into a Monday night game. People say, oh, should I bench my defense because I'm ahead by a few points and I want to make sure they don't get a minus. Your focus should be on scoring as many overall points as possible.
Let me ask you all a question, everybody at the table. Who would you rather have rest of the season, Julio Jones or Robert Woods?
See, I threw that out yesterday, Corey. That was interesting. I said, strip the numbers off the back of the uniform. And, you know, this is a very, very legitimate question. It's so difficult to say, but, you know, right now I might want Robert Woods more.
I mean, Robert Woods is absolutely beasting right now, but I'm still going to roll with Julio.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong with doing that, but, I you know, if you said Robert Woods or... you know, A.J. Green or somebody else, I still got to go with the other. I know Julio gets those 10 to 15 points. It hasn't been anything terrific, but look, if he wins you a championship, you're going to feel a hell of a lot different.
Yeah, It all forgets.
A lot of leagues, though, you could start them together. So it's, you know, because you probably maybe you didn't even draft Robert Woods, etc. You know, so a lot of times maybe you don't have to make the decision.
I think
it's a good question.
Look at where we're at. You know what I'm saying, Mr. Sussman? Look at where we're at, where we get trade deadlines coming up. Somebody could be looking to buy Julio Jones. Somebody could be looking to buy Julio Jones off you, and they could be like, "I'm sending you Robert Woods,"
and
you
add, like, add somebody else. Too.
Let me ask this question, yeah. Corey. Do you think defenses maybe go? Do you think that they're going to change and maybe go try and shut down?
I still think
Something about Sammy Watkins' talent is still something that we're like for example, if I'm not mistaken, they got Bumpy Rhodes coming up soon.
Yeah.
I still think Xavier Rhodes goes Sammy Watkins, and Robert Woods is going to tear their ass up all over the rest of the field.
There's no way in that offense with the three receivers they have that you can focus on one guy defensively. And as far as Julio,
they need to focus on Robert Woods because Sammy Watkins is not getting it done, and Robert Woods is.
If they do, Watkins, you know, might do something. You have Cup too.
Watkins not doing nothing.
He scored each of the last two games.
He gets two, maybe three. He probably gets four targets.
Yeah.
So if you get a touchdown last 2 weeks, he's gotten touchdowns. So
true.
Hell of a block.
If they try to lock up Woods, though, all of a sudden it might open up things for Watkins. Plus you have Cup, too. And as far as Julio goes, after 10 weeks, it's a legitimate question, like I was saying yesterday, because strip the name off the back of the uniform, you get a nice floor. But, you know, you haven't got any major explosive games. Whereas Woods, even before 2 weeks ago, you were getting a nice floor. And now you're getting the two Julio Jones of the past blow-up games.
What do you think, Rick?
You know, I think it's really interesting. I'll start with the Robert Woods side of things with, you know, Xavier Rhodes and that, whatever. I think this week's really telling. That, and it was telling a couple of weeks ago when Xavier Rhodes was on Devontae Adams instead of Jordy Nelson, and we're like, oh, wow. It's interesting how the rest of the NFL sees the Packers. I think the same can be said for this week with the Rams. Robert Woods has just blown up over the last 2 weeks, while Sammy Watkins has had touchdowns back-to-back games on long passes in back-to-back games. I'm really excited to see where Xavier Rhodes lines up and what the rest of the NFL thinks about Robert Woods.
Well, like I said, the Rams have at Minnesota, home versus New Orleans, so you got really two tough secondaries. They're matching up. And what's crazy about the schedule is when I was looking in the preseason, I was like, wow, Atlanta has a great championship round. Weeks 14 and 16, they're playing the Saints. Now, as a Kamara and Ingram owner, I'm like, damn, the Saints have a good playoff matchup.
And that's why that's why on draft day, you don't worry about weeks 14, 15, and 16 because of that, what Matt said right there.
Yeah, you can't do it because the schedule is just so different.
You can do it now, August you could not do that because you can't predict that.
You don't even know until about 4 to 5 weeks in what really the trends are. Right now it's like you say, oh man, my team looks good. I have Jared Goff and Juju Smith-Schuster. Nobody would have expected that in August.
Pretty much. Yeah. All right, we take a break. We'll come back. We'll finish off the hour. Get all the headlines fit to print in hour number two. That comes your way just a little bit. So Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Don Burns did not let you down. That's what he tried to say.
Don Burns did not let me down. Don Burns, where'd you get it at? I know, where'd you get it at, though? Remember we talked about this. Never mind.
What is happening?
Me and Don Burns having a personal conversation. Go ahead.
Oh, we always appreciate your personal conversations on the Roto Experts. It's very, very helpful. to all of us. Corey, did you have a final?
Put that in the rotation, Don Burns.
Corey, did you have a final? I feel like none of the three of us are here. It's just Don and Corey.
That's all we need to be. We got the same ears.
Yes. Do you have, Corey, any final Week 10 takeaways? I know you were in Atlanta. Actually, forget that. I want to hear about hanging out with Dr. A in the booth.
Oh, Dr. A was cool. I went in there, met Dr. A, some of his peoples, you know what I'm saying, his wife, stuff like that. So, I had a nice time.
How did this work out? You're at your seats.
Yeah, so Dr. A was like, you'll send me a text, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I went out, whatever. I went out and so got me, you know, a hot dog, whatever. I was doing my thing, you know what I'm saying? Oh. And I was like, oh, well, I forgot to text Dr. A. It's the second half. So I sent Dr. A a text.
Yeah.
And Dr. A was like, where you at? And I told him where I was at. He was like, yo, come over here. And he came downstairs. He met me. Went up there. Was chilling with Dr. A. You know what I'm saying? Talked a little, you know, whatever.
I'm a little disappointed. You didn't get Chick-fil-A?
No,
closed.
I didn't. It was
Sundays.
Closed. I thought that one. They was like, no, that would still remain closed on Sunday.
Yep.
But they got a lot of other good stuff in there, though. It's a nice joint, the 3D board and... You know, it goes around, whatever. The Georgia Dome is coming down this week. They're going to implode the Georgia Dome this week. Yeah.
Wow.
It just seemed like the Georgia Dome was just made. It's the new stadium, the Georgia Dome. Why are they tearing it down already? But, yeah, so there you go. It was cool. Good times, though. Shout out to Dr. A.
That's cool. Did you guys talk injuries?
We did talk injuries. Because at the time, we was able to see where Dr. A's suite was. We was able to look onto the Falcons bench, and you saw like Julio Jones limping around on the side, like legit.
Right.
Walking.
Yeah, but that's every week. I mean,
yeah, about to say yeah, but to see it right there in person, like, oh, that's number 11 is limping.
It's real.
And Dr.
Yeah.
A was like, yeah, I know. Yeah. I told you this.
Is there a skeleton in the suite?
No, there's no skeleton in the suite. And he was telling me, you know, the college football playoff is going to be there.
Right.
So he was like, I was like, well, do you get the suite for the playoff? And he was like, the suite has to be shared for the playoff. You got to share it with somebody. And then he was telling me, like, the price per the ticket for the playoff is crazy. Like, wow. Yeah.
Did he invite you?
I don't think Dr. A is going to even make that one himself.
Wow.
Unless the Georgia Bulldogs are there, which I don't think they're going to be after this weekend.
War Eagle.
Yeah. Auburn very much in the mix. It's true. There you go. So
I had a good time with Doc, though, you know. When we got in there, we talked about the Devontae Freeman thing. Whatever, I have some insight on that I can share a little bit later on. I was close to the source on Sunday evening, and I you know, we'll see what happens. But we're talking about that in the next hour.
Any gentlemen clubs involved?
I plead the fifth.
That's the part I was waiting for.
He pleaded the fifth. I want to make that clear. Scott wants to know, was it a daytime is or an evening?
No.
He wants to check the shifts.
Yeah. Later on.
Later on.
Scouting report.
So coming up next hour, just a little bit, actually, we're going to do it on YouTube, is the Devontae Freeman injury talk. We'll hear what Corey saw up close and personal. We'll also hear from what you should do as a Devontae Freeman owner, or if you're sitting here 7-3, 8-2, 9-1 or whatever, or even 10-0, if Devontae Freeman is someone you want to take a chance on, what we think of Tevin Coleman, Teron Ward, or everything Devontae Freeman, we're going to break it down coming up in a little bit live on YouTube. So make sure you head on over to your phone, on your computer, your laptop, whatever, and fire it up, because a lot of great stuff coming about Devontae Freeman and the Atlanta Falcons in just a little bit. But when we come back, take a look around the NFL. Roto Experts, hour number one is done. We move on to hour number two coming up next.